when people go out to eat salmon at a restaurant in London, or if they're buying it in the store, Pam, do they have a clue whether it's from the ocean or whether it's from a salmon farm?
Most people don't know the difference between farm salmon and wild salmon, and I think people should start asking, because the farm salmon, unfortunately, is putting the wild salmon at risk. And wild salmon, in my opinion, and in many other people's opinion, of course, wild salmon is the superior food because there's just going to be more nutrition involved.
How bad did it get in Chile, and how bad could it get here?
They could not believe how many fish it killed. It caused $2 billion of damage. But they don't have wild salmon. Nobody knows what's going to happen here. This salmon farming experiment, this is the only place it's going on amongst abundant wild salmon. Here we are risking everything on this coast.
Hello, I'm William Shatner, and I'd like just to tell you something that's really important to all of us. The British Columbia, especially in the Fraser River, salmon are dying.
There are 600,000 food items in America. 80% of them have added sugar.
Your brain lights up with sugar just like it does with cocaine or heroin. You're going to become an addict.
You end up with one of the great public health epidemics of our time.
Okay, I'm a little confused here, Andy. You're going to talk about salmon and sugar. What do they have in common? It is Thursday morning, and that means we're going to talk about health, and we talk about the big issues in health. Joining me this morning, as always, nutritional. What do you call yourself these days, Pamphlene?
Nutritional consultant. As always, a contrarian, though.
And a contrarian, rabble-rouser. Steve Garrison calls her the crazy lady, and he says that out of respect. And more people are realizing Pamphlene is not crazy, but we're crazy for ignoring some of the issues that we have when it comes to our health, and we're not fixing them. So you heard the clip at the end about sugar. There's just a survey out today, Pam. We were talking last night about there'll be some big story that breaks. There was this morning, new survey about obesity.
Yeah, and the timing is perfect because the movie Fed Up has just been released this month, Andy. This is going to make major, major waves in society, thankfully. Thankfully, we're finally seeing a really good documentary coming out to try and create more awareness around the damaging health effects of sugar.
But it was shocking to me that Huron County had the highest numbers for obesity. Mm-hmm. Huron County is a wonderful farming district to the north of London. Anyway, that's what we're going to talk about in the second half hour after 10:30 this morning. This morning, we're talking about salmon, and some people right now are saying, salmon? What issue could there possibly be involving salmon, which I love?
Mm-hmm. Well, and it's a very Canadian story because, of course, we have a lot of the salmon farms offshore, in particular in areas like British Columbia. And these farm salmon, unfortunately, are threatening the lives of the wild salmon. And so we're seeing a sharp reduction in the population of wild salmon, and it's because of the illness that is spreading from the factory farmed salmon.
Okay, and how does that affect us?
Well, I mean, if you want a nutritionally superior fish, you want wild salmon, and obviously if their lives are being threatened, we could see the end of wild salmon, which would be rather tragic.
We've done this story many times, and we have several new developments this morning, but as a habit now, when I'm in a restaurant and anyone in our group will order salmon, I'll say to the server, by the way, is that, I'm just showing off a little, is that farm salmon or is that wild salmon? And I get the blankest stares, mm-hmm. like, nobody has ever asked us that before.
Yeah, we're so detached from our food these days, Andy. Most people have no awareness around how our food is being produced. And in many, many cases, these are animals that are raised in very confined spaces. They're fed the wrong kinds of food. They're not healthy at all. And we get to eat, unfortunately, this food that is basically starting from a very unhealthy environment. So we have to transition over. We have to vote with our dollar and vote for food that is raised in a more sustainable, healthier manner.
Okay, so we have a very interesting guest from the West Coast who's been right up to her eyeballs in this issue of saving what Pam is saying we need to save, and that is wild salmon. Would you introduce our guest this morning,
Pam? Right. This morning we have Alexandra Morton on the show. She is a biologist, and she has been working hard on this issue for many, many, many years. And fortunately, as of recent, she has been getting some more attention to this matter. In fact, recently she was featured on 60 Minutes with Sanjay Gupta in a segment about the vulnerabilities of the wild salmon with relationship to the farm salmon. So thankfully, the story is getting more attention.
No kidding. Alex, good morning.
Good morning. Thanks for calling me up.
They used to say when Mike Wallace comes knocking on your door from 60 Minutes, you know it's not going to be a good day. But, hey, a good day when 60 Minutes starts paying attention to this issue of salmon from B.C. Alex, let's make it really simple for people who have not been following this issue, and they're going, salmon, I don't get. What's the issue, Alex?
Well, farmed salmon are feedlots. They're fish put in feedlots. And it changes all the laws, breaks all the natural laws, and it causes viruses, bacteria, and sea lice to reproduce and explode in huge numbers. And they put these in narrow migration routes. So the wild salmon juveniles, when they go out to sea, they swim through this. It would be like walking your child through the tuberculosis ward of a hospital on their way to school. So you expose all these young fish to disease, and then they spread themselves up the coast, and they become carriers. Nowheres in the world that they do salmon farming are wild salmon thriving. Mm-hmm. Now, there is a solution. It's just separate the two. If you really want to farm salmon, do it in a tank. Just like chicken farms, turkey farms, cow farms, pig farms, they have to be separate from the wild animals from nature.
I don't want to spoil anybody's appetite, but what are, I didn't know there was such a thing, as sea lice?
Well, sea lice are basically a little crustacean, so they're related to crabs and shrimp, but their whole life is sticking on salmon, and they scoot around and eat the mucus of the fish. But what happens on the farms is you've got 600,000 or a million fish, you get more lice, and they reproduce, and so there's clouds of baby lice around these farms, and when the little wild fish go through, they pick up way more lice than they can survive, and the lice just simply eat them to death.
Now, a couple of years ago, CTV did a piece about the salmon that is being sold in the stores and how the flesh can actually get all mushy, and that this is a sign of a virus of some kind, or is that the sign of the lice itself?
Actually, it's the sign of another parasite called Kudoa, which buries in the flesh. And when the fish is killed, it releases enzymes, which turns the farm salmon to jelly, which obviously was a little bit unpalatable. The other really big difference between the farmed and the wild is the farmed salmon is much fatter. And so when you look at a farm salmon fillet or a steak, you'll see these thick white stripes. And that the white, that's fat. Farm salmon aren't exercising. They just go around in a circle. They're fed a very high-fat diet to make them grow fast. And so they collect that fat. And in Norway, there's great concern that this fat contains high levels of PCBs and dioxins. In fact, doctors are warning people who are planning to have children, women, to avoid farm salmon because these PCBs and dioxins then bind to the fat cells in your body until you have a baby, in which case you drain out 98% of these toxins as you're nursing your baby. So a very big concern to people who are thinking of having children.
We often talk on this show about how important salmon is to your diet, and I think most people have that message. In fact, I heard a reference this morning that salmon is the number one most popular item on the dinner plate in the U.S., your message is very, very important, Alex, and I'm wondering to what extent, and then we'll get you to update it, this message that you're preaching, that we can't allow farm salmon to contaminate wild salmon, to what extent is it catching on around the world? I mean, when 60 Minutes comes calling, you know it's starting to catch on.
Yes. Well, last week, Bloomberg, the financial news service, posted three videos on the dangers of eating farm salmon and whether or not you should invest in it due to the problems with disease and lack of transparency. In France, a video was done on the food quality, and the sales from Norwegian farm salmon to France dropped an enormous percent. I think Americans need to know that it's not what they think. I mean, when people eat salmon, they feel they are doing something that is good for their bodies. They're seeking those omegas. It looks pink. You know, they think it's good. But farm salmon is colored. It's not naturally pink because the wild salmon get that pink color from the food they eat. So the farmers have to add that. And they can actually pick what color they want their salmon to turn out as. So my advice to the public would be really stick with wild fish. it's much better for you, and you're also then supporting the coastlines like British Columbia, but also Eastern Canada, Nova Scotia, New Brunswick. These are places having enormous trouble with farm salmon impacting the wild salmon.
Now, you have two major updates to share with us, and one has to do with NAFTA calling for an investigation into the BC salmon farms, and another update has some involvement with the First Nations out in British Columbia as well. So maybe you could start by sharing the NAFTA story with us.
Right. Well, NAFTA, the North American Free Trade Agreement between Canada, United States, and Mexico, has the Center for Environmental Concerns, which is a small branch of NAFTA, which allows individuals and companies to make complaints to say, hey, we think that this country is not protecting their environment enough. And so myself and a First Nation chief and the Center for Biological Diversity and a fishing organization, we put together a petition to this organization of NAFTA and said, we do not think Canada is protecting wild salmon from salmon farms, in particular to the amount of waste that they pour into the water. I mean, these are farmers that never shovel their manure, and they have tons of waste per day per farm. And Canada came back and said, hey, you know what, we've dealt with this. We had a $26 million commission into the collapse of wild salmon in British Columbia. We've dealt with it. But NAFTA reviewed that and said, you know what, you haven't. And so Canada has 60 days now to come back to NAFTA. This is a very significant development because the carelessness that Canada is showing towards wild salmon, the lack of priority, is devastating to this coastline, to the small communities.
But the numbers are clear, aren't they, Alex? I mean, the numbers of the declining populations of the wild salmon are so incredibly established. What is it? Why are they ignoring the numbers?
They're ignoring it because they can, and because people keep eating the farm salmon. And so until somebody says, look, you're just going to have to stop this, they're going to keep doing it. And I don't understand why Canada is so careless about their wild salmon. It doesn't make sense to me, but that's the case.
Okay, I want to ask Nick to bring in William Shatner. Now, William Shatner is a great actor in this particular clip. Quite frankly, he mumbles and is a little hard to understand it, but I just want to play a portion of it because William Shatner, probably one of our most high-profile Canadian actors, has weighed in on this issue. So here we go.
Hello, I'm William Shatner, and I'd like just to tell you something that's really important to all of us. The British Columbia, especially in the Fraser River, salmon are dying. I have fished in British Columbia, and not so long ago I was up there and began to understand the problems involved in keeping the wild salmon alive. It's fixable. Experts believe that it's a result of the parasitic lice coming from the farmed salmon that are in the same waterways as the wild salmon. This lice attaches onto the young salmon as they go out to the ocean and they die. And there is absolute desolation now. We can turn it around, but Finn Donnelly's bill, C-518, is one of the answers.
Okay, so there it is. William Shatner weighing in on this issue. Alex, did he decide on his own he wanted to weigh in on this?
Yes, he comes up to a fishing lodge in this area called Nemo Bay, and they decided to shoot an episode of Boston Legal there on sea lice. And the episode ends with Shatner and his partner arguing a sea lice case in Port McNeil, which is a small town nearby at the north end of Vancouver Island. And so I actually gave William Shatner Sea Lice 101, and he told me, he said, you should call them Klingons. You should call those sea lice Klingons.
that says it.
Yeah, it was quite funny. But and Canada became very upset with that episode, but in the end, you know, it didn't change things. There's recently, so we had a $26 million commission, and the judge in charge of this commission said that he thinks salmon farms can do serious and irreversible harm to the Fraser sockeye, which is the biggest salmon run in Canada, and that was
the one run he was tasked to look at. And yet, at the beginning of this year, Stephen Harper opened the coast of British Columbia to more salmon farms.
But we can learn from history in terms of what happened in South America as well with the farm salmon.
We should be learning, yes, most definitely, because they got a virus. It's an influenza type of virus called ISA virus, and they knew it was there, but they did not pay attention, and it got away on them. It mutated like influenza viruses do. And it ended up doing over $2 billion in damages, and they still can't get rid of it.
And this is off the coast of Chile, is it? Where is it?
Off the coast of Chile, yes. Correct. Mm-hmm. But this virus is also in Norway, it's where it was first found, Scotland, eastern Canada. And I am now tracking this virus. I am getting positive results for the virus, for pieces of the virus here in British Columbia. The government won't react. And so we are going down exactly the same road as Chile, which brings me to the First Nation component. Last week, 80 First Nations say they have joined together in what they're calling the Wild Salmon Alliance. And they don't want any government funding. They want to look after the salmon without the influence of government. And one of their first things they want to deal with is the salmon farms that are on the wild salmon migration routes of the fish, the salmon, that they have title and rights to. This is unprecedented for First Nations to work together like this against a single issue like salmon farming without government funding, which can, you know, obviously steer people one way or another.
Alex, we're almost out of time. Make the key points that just to summarize our discussion so far. About what you want people to take away from our discussion in terms of having knowledge about this very important salmon issue.
For your health and the health of the oceans of Canada, don't eat farm salmon unless they can prove to you that it came from a tank. And there are a few tank farms. And if you want to learn more, you can visit my website. It's just alexandramorton.ca. And we have some films on there and lots of resources. But just don't eat it. And it really is up to you, because Canada has walked away from this issue, and we are going to lose our wild salmon. And that means the killer whales, the eagles, the bears, everything on this coast.
Wow. And there is a documentary called Salmon Confidential as well, I believe.
That's right. Mm-hmm. I produced it, salmonconfidential.ca. It is about the government cover-up that I feel is underway about these viruses.
Wow. Fantastic. Well, two things that stuck out in my mind, that's just the kind of guy I am, Klingons, I love that term, but sea lice on salmon, that's a pretty disgusting thought. But secondly, the suggestion that farm salmon are not naturally pink like the wild salmon, so they do what? So they look pink in the store?
They have a food additive that makes them pink. And when they sell this product in the United States, it has to say color added, but not in Canada. They that don't one, do that in Canada, the, but it is what, color added.
You know what struck out to me in that 60 Minutes piece was when you put the camera to the bottom of the ocean and you saw all the fecal matter, all the debris that was just stuck to the bottom of the ocean. That was absolutely disgusting.
Oh, yeah. I mean, this industry has to grow up. You can't just, you know, let your manure pour out into the ocean. Now, if you do it on land, the people that do it on land, they take that manure and they grow lettuce crops and other vegetable crops. It is an incredibly rich fertilizer.
Absolutely. Alex, I know that we could go on all day. We thank you so much for your time this morning.
Thank you so much for having me on.
Okay. Thanks, Alex.
Okay, have terrific. A good day. Bye.
Okay, we're going to take a short break. When we come back, we're going to talk about, whenever I ask Pam Pauline, what's the number one issue and when it comes to health in North America? And she says Sugar,
yeah.
And just today, now we've had this interview booked for a while, but just today a new survey comes out showing how obese our children are. Here in southwestern Ontario, they break it down by the city and county. London is above average for obesity for children, and the worst county is Huron County. You folks up there north of London, an obesity epidemic, and you have it just like we do. We'll be back to talk sugar. It's sour news about this very sweet product when we come back in just a moment right here on London Today on News Talk 1290 CJBK.
Over 95% of all Americans will be overweight or obese in two decades.
We're toast as a country.
The sugar industry is extraordinarily powerful. They're in business to make money, not to keep America healthy.
What if our whole approach to this epidemic has been dead wrong?
The government is subsidizing the obesity epidemic.
To place private profit ahead of public health. Systematic political failure.
By 2050, one out of every three Americans will have diabetes.
Forget about it. There are 600,000 food items in America. 80% of them have added sugar.
Your brain lights up with sugar just like it does with cocaine or heroin. You're going to become an addict.
You end up with one of the great public health epidemics of our time.
Come on, Pam, I like that song. Don't spoil the song. Are you going to give us sour news about sugar?
Absolutely. We've seen in the movie, they point out that our consumption of sugar has significantly increased since 1977. I mean, huge amounts of sugar are sitting on our dinner plates every day. They're hidden in a lot of processed foods that we're buying from the middle aisles. A lot of sugar has been added to food simply because when we reduced our consumption of fats, of course, this took the flavor out of the food. So sugar by default was added to the food to try to compensate for this lack of taste.
We have an epidemic, Pam. This is serious stuff. This is our kids right here in London, Ontario. White Oaks, Westmount, Masonvale, doesn't matter. A new survey just out this morning showing that obesity rates are epidemic. And worst of all, Huron County, which I was really shocked by. I would have thought, you know, processed foods in the city, but Huron County, 37% now children. We're over a third. We're going for half. We're almost up to 40%. This is a very serious issue. Now, right off the bat, why don't we mention the movie at the highlight?
Oh, I'm so excited about this movie, Andy. It's called Fed Up. This morning, we have the director and co-writer of the film joining us, Stephanie Sotig. And this movie starts tomorrow at the Highland Cinema on Wharncliffe. And there's showings tomorrow at 1 o'clock and at 7 o'clock. It's on for the next week. And I want everybody in London to go and see this movie. It is going to be earth-shattering. It's definitely a very, very powerful call to action on this issue.
Well, let me just, before we introduce Stephanie, let's just play, if we could, Tim, the soundbite, which is so powerful. Just a montage of some of the soundbites from this very, very powerful documentary. Soundbite number 4, if we could. Nick, here we go.
There are 600,000 food items in America. 80% of them have added sugar.
Your brain lights up with sugar just like it does with cocaine or heroin. You're going to become an addict.
You end up with one of the great public health epidemics of our time.
This is the first generation of American children expected to lead shorter lives than their parents.
I am 12 years old and my doctors have said that I am a statistic.
We're blaming willpower, and it's a crime.
Over 95% of all Americans will be overweight or obese in 2 decades.
We're toast as a country.
The sugar industry is extraordinarily powerful. They're in business to make money, not to keep America healthy.
What if our whole approach to this epidemic has been dead wrong?
The government is subsidizing the obesity epidemic.
To place private profit ahead of public health. Systematic political failure.
By 2050, one out of every three Americans will have diabetes.
Those diseases are being driven by sugar.
This is the fundamental problem nobody's talking about in society.
We could cure 80% of the problem where they prepared the food in the school.
Tomato paste is a vegetable? Really?
Junk food companies are acting very much like tobacco companies did 30 years ago.
I would reject entirely any argument that they are in any way harmful.
Lying through their teeth.
Kids are being told the biggest lie they will ever hear in their lives.
Ronald McDonald never sells to children. He informs and inspires through magic and fun.
If a foreign nation were doing that to our children, we would defend our families.
Years from now, we're going to say, I can't believe we let them get away with that.
You have to change the diet of America.
It's all preventable.
Pam, I have a confession you have to promise you'll never tell.
I'll keep it
secret. Never admitted this to anybody anywhere. When I was a kid, I'd come home from school and I was hungry and I couldn't find something to eat. I'd just go to the sugar jug. I'd wet my finger, just dip it in, get my finger all coated with sugar, and boom.
I lived on peanut butter and sugar sandwiches, Andy, growing up as a kid.
Let me ask you, from that montage that we just heard, which clip stood out? I'll share with you which stood out for me. That we are on the verge of seeing a situation where one-third of North Americans One out of three have diabetes.
Mm-hmm.
And, one out of three?
And the other thing that they point out is that this is preventable. It is preventable. But the trouble is people are not getting the correct information. We are not getting the proper protection. The food industry has far too much control over the government and over the media and over our universities. So the research is just not coming out to our tables, so to speak.
We have an election in Ontario in 2 weeks, 2 weeks today. So I'm expecting that by this afternoon, Deb Matthews, who listens to this show regularly because we are her most faithful critics, will stand up and say, you know what? I have just had an epiphany, and that is sugar is destroying us. There was another clip in that montage.
Mm-hmm.
We are toast as a nation. Did you hear that? We are toast as a nation.
That's now, right. If we're this sick, Andy, how are we going to be able to go to work?
So this is a documentary which is about to open at the Highland Theatre right here in London. When is it? Tomorrow?
Starts tomorrow, 1 o'clock, 7 o'clock. It's on for a week at the Highland, so I want everybody in London to go to this movie, and it is a call to action, so Stephanie's going to talk about some of the steps that we can take to try and undo this damage.
Okay, would you introduce Stephanie?
Well, I'm thrilled this morning. Straight from California, we've got Stephanie Sotig, who is the co-writer and director of this fabulous documentary called Fed Up. Good morning. Thank you for joining us, Stephanie.
Oh, thanks so much for having me. I mean, this has been the best intro I think I've had since opening the film on May 9th. So.
Well, up here in Canada, I don't know what you've heard. I'm probably only about Rob Ford, but we've never heard of the guy. That's all an illusion, that stuff about Rob Ford. Not that he's ever had any sugar. but we're loud and we're proud and we're very passionate on this issue of sugar. Stephanie, that montage that we just played, it's absolutely chilling how serious this crisis is.
You know, it is the greatest public health epidemic of our time. And if you think it doesn't affect you because you don't struggle with your weight, you couldn't be more wrong. I mean, for numerous reasons. And I just think, you know, the film unfolds like this murder mystery thriller. It isn't, you know, sort of a dry, you don't feel like you're, you know, eating your vegetables when you're watching the film. It's incredibly interesting just to see how hoodwinked we've all been for so long. And I just want to point out, because I, you know, your audience may be listening and thinking, well, you know, I don't actually really eat a lot of sugar. And I eat stevia and honey. And I think one of the most interesting parts for me in making the film was that sugar is sugar. You know, all studies that pit high fructose corn syrup, for example, against regular sugar show the same thing. Your body treats it all the same way. So all those fake sugars, you know, those healthy sugars, have the same effect. So, and again, it's the hidden sugars, which you touched upon earlier, and the hidden amounts of sugar. So when you think that you're making these healthy choices and you reach for, you know, a granola bar or a glass of juice, you don't realize that you may as well just be drinking a can of soda pop because it has just as much sugar in it. So it's really hidden in so many products. Again, 80% of products in the grocery store have hidden sugars in it. And you're going to be dumbfounded, I think, you know, after you watch the film, go to your cupboard and you start looking. And, you know, sugar is listed in grams, which is, you know, to me, I think another effort to confuse us, because unless you're dealing pot, you don't really know what a gram is. So a really great trick is that 4 grams equals 1 teaspoon. 4 grams of sugar equals 1 teaspoon. And suddenly, you know, it really, when I learned this, I learned this really early on in making the film, and it really changed the way I ate. And I was sort of an elitist. I thought I ate so well. I was a vegetarian since I was 15. But again, these hidden sugars in all that healthy food, and also in addition to the artificial sweeteners that I touched upon, it's starches too, act just like sugar in the body. So, you know, white bread and white potatoes, all those things below the neck are sugar.
Now, in the movie, you point out that the junk food industry does such a good job at marketing their products. You know, the fast food industry makes us believe that if we buy fast food, we're going to save money and save time. And your movie actually does a great job at dispelling these myths. For example, you show a scene where if you sit down and have a chicken and vegetable dinner, it's going to cost you less money than it would if you went out and had a dinner for four at a fast food restaurant.
Yeah, it's almost half the price. And, you know, people say, well, what about the time? You know, it takes just as much time to, you know, drive to the restaurant and go through the drive-through. It's the idea that it is cheaper or that it is less time-consuming to eat out or eat processed food is actually a very clever marketing campaign that started after World War II by the food industry. And it was designed to, you know, make your life easier. But, you know, there's sort of two parts to this. One, you know, at whose expense? You know, this easier life isn't really easy when you have to go for, you know, kidney dialysis or frequent trips to the hospital because, you know, you're obese. And also, you know, it's just fundamentally not true. I think we need to start rethinking of what we consider meals. So it doesn't have to be a four-course meal for your family every night. Last night, I was short on time. I served my family scrambled eggs with kale. That's a great dinner. It's a nutritious dinner, and it's certainly better than a fast food meal. And it took me less than 5 minutes to make. So, you know, we've really been brainwashed for so long that it's become ingrained in how we do things.
In your movie, somebody uses the line that we are eating the world's deadliest diet. I mean, these are strong words that are used throughout your film. And I agree. I agree that we're seeing so much devastation in terms of our health. You also point in the movie that 75% of healthcare dollars is spent on these new modern diseases that are essentially caused by our modern diets.
Yeah, I mean, it's costing us, you know, about $147 billion a year. But also think about global competitiveness. You know, this is the first generation of kids expected to lead shorter lives than their parents. So where will our first responders come from? You know, how will we defend ourselves? How will we compete globally when we're sick and saddled with disease? So it's, you know, the tentacles of this problem are so far-reaching. And it also, you know, I think an interesting point is that if you may not actually externally look like you're suffering from a weight problem, but if you're eating this food, which we all are, you could be fat on the inside. And I think that's a really interesting concept, that you can look normal, weight, you know, normal, I'm using quotes, on the outside, but inside, your organs can be swimming in fat. And it's an affliction that affects about 40% of the population that is suffering from diseases we associate with obesity, but they, from the outside, look like a normal weight.
Now, these foods are sitting on our grocery store shelves, and people assume that because they're sitting on the grocery store shelves, that they're safe. They're not properly regulated, is what they should be taught, and we're not being taught that. But they should not be assuming that the products are safe. Who is going to protect us if we are under these assumptions, wrongly under these assumptions that these foods are safe to eat?
Well, you know, I mean, I think you guys have a better chance up in Canada than we do down here in California, because I don't think the lobbying dollars are quite as pervasive there. At least that's what, you know, one of our executive producers is Heather Reisman of Indigo Books, and she was saying she felt like there was great hope. Also, what we're seeing in Quebec, for example, which has outlawed advertising of junk food to kids, and it also has some of the lowest rates of childhood obesity. So, you know, what I always say is this has to be a people's movement, and, you know, the one thing that politicians need more than money is votes. So when enough of us realize that, you know, for 30 years, we sort of sit back and we sat back and we've hoped that things would work out the way they're supposed to and that people would be looking out for us. But, you know, we now have a third of the population, you know, that's overweight or obese. So obviously, they're, you know, these people that are supposed to protect us are not doing a good job. So we really have to unite as citizens and demand change. And so it can be as simple as, you know, again, seeing the film is a tremendous tool, I think, and it's not just a shameless plug to go through the film, but I just think knowledge is power, and up until then, this has really been kept from us, so I don't think you can ever eat the same way again after you've seen the film.
Let me ask you, Stephanie, I keep coming back to that figure, which just rocked my boat that very soon, and I knew it was high, but almost one-third of us now, we're on the verge of seeing that one-third of us having diabetes. I see it all around us. I even have a family member. I've told this story before. We went to their house a few years ago, and for some reason there was a problem with the front door, so they opened the garage door, and I saw garbage cans full of empty pop cans, and we said it's just a matter of time before she has diabetes, and she now has no feeling in her feet. It's an ugly, ugly story. How serious is this crisis right now? I'm thinking, for example, here in Ontario, you know, if you're feeling badly in California about being bankrupt, the figure we're given for the people of California, including you, is that you would have to cough up to look after your state debt about $4,000 to $5,000 per person. Here in Ontario, it's $20,000. So you can feel good that you're only have a fourth of the problem that we have in Ontario. But what's the number one expense that we have in our budget in Ontario? It's not education. It's not interest in the debt. That's the second and the third one. It's health. Health. And just as I was speaking, I'm just reading the caption on a news channel that I keep one eye on, and it said one third of the time of people spend in the hospital is spent on self-afflicted disorders, and sugar is an absolute criminal suspect, you might call it, on the list. So how serious is this crisis, Stephanie?
It's, you know, again, it's the greatest health epidemic of our time, and let's just to be clear, we're talking about type 2 diabetes. And type 2 diabetes, you know, used to only be associated with, you know, sort of older people. It's an acquired diabetes, not like type 1. And it's definitely tied to lifestyle. In the United States, for example, cases of type 2 diabetes among adolescents, in 1980, there were zero. In 2010, there were about 58,000. This was never heard of to affect kids. And now doctors are treating it regularly. It is, you know, the illnesses associated with type 2 diabetes, the amputations, the care associated with it, it's going to bankrupt us. In addition, the other statistic is that 95% of us are going to be overweight or obese in two decades. 95%. It will be a very small minority of people that aren't suffering.
Wait a minute. Did you say 95% by what year?
In two decades, by 2030, roughly.
In other words,
2034.
If we don't do something about it, Andy, that's what's going to happen. Now, in your film, you make a comparison between the junk food industry and the tobacco industry and the very similar deceitful marketing ploys that they used. I mean, there's really very little difference between the two entities.
Well, I mean, and then, you know, it no longer, you know, Kraft Food, the nation's largest food company, was owned by Philip Morris just up until 2007. So the parallels are really uncanny. And I think, you know, the denying the science, buying the science, you know, there was just a study that came out this week that was trying to say that diet soda, you lost more weight drinking diet soda than if you drank water.
Stephanie. Okay? And then when Stephanie, yeah. we have to take a short break. When we come back, we'll have about 2 minutes. I just want you to wrap this up and put a bow on it so that people walk away from this conversation saying, number one, I am going to see that documentary over at the Highland Theater, which opens tomorrow, and it's going to be there for a week. I'm going to get educated on the effects of sugar.
And we have to talk about the Fed Up Challenge, too.
Absolutely. We'll be back with that in just a moment right here on London Today on News Talk 1290 CJBK. Sugar. Love this song. Pam, get down off the table. Stop dancing. We got some serious business to do. We need to warn people about sugar. Give me your summation of what we've just said for people who have just tuned in over the last 20 minutes.
Well, we've been fooled over the last 30, 40 years to think that, you know, animal fat joined the dark side and that it was leading to all sorts of chronic diseases. But indeed, it's just been the increase in consumption of sugar in our diets that has led to a lot of inflammation and a lot of suffering today.
Okay, I just have to break in. Stephanie, can you just wrap up what we've just said literally in 20 seconds?
You'll never look at food the same way again once you see Fed Up. The industry has hoodwinked you for 30 years into thinking that unhealthy food is healthy. And the truth is that of 600,000 items on the shelf, 80% have added sugar. And sugar is sugar. Honey, stevia, all of it. Sugar is sugar.
Stephanie, thank you so much for joining us. We appreciate it so much. Pam, we've got some breaking news I want to get to. Mm-hmm. Just summarize the movie, where it is and when.
Right. The movie is Fed Up. It's playing at Highland starting tomorrow, 1 o'clock, 7 o'clock showings tomorrow. You can go to Highland Cinema's website to find out the rest of the times over the next week. The actual website for the film is fedupmovie.com. So you can find out more information there. And you can find out about the challenge that they put out to people to cut out sugar from their diets, that they want people to start taking more initiatives to cut out sugar in their diets, just to see immediate health benefits that you can feel over a very short period of time.
Terrific, Pam. Thank you so much. Sorry to be abrupt, but we have some breaking news from the London Courthouse. We're joined by the senior anchor at CTV News.